Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. And you're going to have to put on your thinking caps today. If you can follow me for this next 60 minutes, I guarantee you a whole new lease on why you do what you do regarding holistic health. A concept we overlook, a concept that's bigger than what most people understand, that drives more disease than I think anything I've ever put my finger on. We're going to try to get it across to you on the radio today. You're going to need the website, so if you can, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, that's .cc with two T's. I've got pictures, I've got articles for you to look at. I'm going to quote a few people from articles today. It's not just me that put their finger on this. The last 150 years of science have figured this out. But we don't get it to the public because I guess we just don't know how to explain it. We think it's too complicated, or maybe there's just no money in it. However you look at it, you'll see its importance. Deposition disease. Precipitation. I'm going to use words today. And what they come down to is circulating in your blood are an enormity of chemicals that are part of natural metabolism. Carbonic acid, sodium phosphate, the urates. Chemicals that are just a product of normal cellular metabolism. All the calciums that become calcium hydroxyapatite crystals. Everything the kidney flushes out. Oh, that important organ, the kidney, flushing out all these chemicals, soluble or dispersed so you can't see them in the blood, dissolved so that they don't present a problem, that the kidney just flushes out into your urine. These acids that come out in the urine, there's loads of them. We'll get into a number of them today. But these acids that flush out through the urine, sometimes they precipitate in different body parts into crystals. These crystals are dangerous. These crystals grow calcium plaque. These crystals grow calcium hydroxyapatite buildups in the joints. These crystals promote gout, which is uric acid deposition. These crystals promote the kinds of things that get stuck up in your arteries and cause senility. And that's just a few. We'll cover a few today. But if you're really interested in, say, what drives heart disease, in other words, the buildup of calcific plaque inside an artery leading to, ultimately, that open bypass surgery, potentially that congestive heart failure, the buildup of calcium plaque in the carotid arteries, so that by the time you're 60 or 70, that brain, that all-important oxygen-sucking brain, is receiving half, even less than half the oxygen it needs because the calcium plaque in those carotids right there in the front of the neck are all plugged up. This begins when you're in your 20s. It begins in your teens for a whole bunch of chemical reasons. And we can tell you, oh, yes, do this, that, and the other thing, and you'll never get it. In other words, balance your pHs and eat right and exercise. But people don't do that. And I think part of the reason people don't do it, I mean, you want to do more than just listen to a radio show, right? You want to do more than just buy a supplement. What you want to do is understand fundamentally really what's driving this. Because I know what picks away at your brain. For every time you're told, well, your senility is this, and you need a joint replacement for that. And you're building calcium plaque in your carotids, and you're building calcium plaque in your coronary arteries, and you need to get your knee replaced. For every time you're told that there's a holistic remedy for these things, that there's a natural way to go about preventing this or resolving it, there's 50 other people telling you that that holistic natural model is garbage. Unfortunately, half the time they're correct. Half the time it is snake oil. But buried in the libraries of the world, scientists have given their lives an entire decade or two to researching things that they put in publication that lies dust covered in the basements of the academic libraries all over the United States or somewhere out there in cyberspace on microfilm that nobody ever sees. So the bottom line then is, the bottom line becomes, if you understand it, if you truly understand it, you'll start to comply. You'll start to take action. You have to attach a depth of understanding. So let's attach a little bit of depth here so that we can have some compliance. So you know why you're doing what you're doing and what you're spending. I'm never going to stop repeating that to you. Because no matter what, there's never enough understanding. Go to the website, straighttalk.cc. If this is the first time you've heard the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is a pure educational attempt to get you to a high concept. Look at the pictures there and put your cursor on picture number 8. I'm just showing you a test tube. That's a test tube, and what you see in that test tube are crystals. Now, a few moments earlier, that test tube didn't have any crystals. There were no crystals in it. That test tube looked like the rest of that clear, colorless, transparent liquid. And suddenly, appearing like magic, out of that transparent liquid come those crystals. That phenomenon with different types of crystals is going on every second of every day all over your body. And if it goes on too much, you begin to suffer from deposition disease. Deposition. We depose or we deposit the crystal into, say, a joint space or into the underside of an artery. Now, I'm simplifying a little bit, of course. You can study this for days, weeks, but you're going to get the basic concept here. The basic concept is when your doctor tells you you have arthritis, that you need joint replacement, and that, boy, oh boy, where did you get that from? It must be genetic. It must be some reason outside your control. You have to understand that, as you'll learn in a few moments, that an aberrant physiology, for a multitude of reasons, much of which we'll try to get here covered today, will start increasing the rate of deposition. So let's get our lingo straight. So when we talk about precipitation, precipitation simply means the emergence of those crystals. They can be uric acid crystals, calcium hydroxyapatite crystals. I put pictures of crystals on the website. If you're new to the show, go to the heading, the top, go to radio literature and just click radio literature and then click on today's show. Very easy to do. You can't get lost. So precipitation. I want a consciousness about that word. I want you to take that word and I want you to understand it deeply, deeply within your experience. I want you to understand that word. I want you to understand that when you're told you have arthritis and your joint aches and it's inflamed and it hurts and it swells and they x-ray you or they MRI you or they scan you and they tell you you've got some sort of a growth, osteophytes, spurs, degenerative joint disease, crepitus, joint mice, millions of these words that ultimately lead to what? Mr. Smith, you're going to need to have your shoulder replaced. You're going to need to have your knee replaced. You're going to need to have your hip replaced. These depositions, these precipitations and depositions of these crystals out of just plain old blood. Blood that doesn't have crystals, that all of a sudden pushes crystals out of it into the joint space, creating inflammation, and then a whole series of evolutions that ultimately degrades the joint. It's not just the crystal in the joint. It's not just the deposition. After the precipitation comes the deposition. So you have to evolve it through precipitation and then depose it. Yes, I'm overstating this. Why? Because it'll go in one ear and out the other. Because this is new. Because you have to repeat things. And then maybe then they'll sink in 10%. That is my experience. And where does it make a difference? In compliance, in understanding. How many of you out there are going to be looking at joint replacement over the next 10 to 20 or 30 years? How many of you have already been told you're going to need to have the joint replaced? How many of you realize that when a doctor, a good-hearted, moral, ethical, competent doctor, looks at you at 60 and sees that based on the rate of precipitation and deposition of crystal into the joint, that over the next 10 to 20 years, by the time you're 70 or 80, you're going to have that joint replaced. You're going to need it replaced. How many of them start to talk to you about it now? You see? So how deeply do you understand this then? That's the point. So we're not being repetitive here. So take a look at that test tube. For those of you who don't have the computer, you can't get to the website, you're listening on the show, on the car, driving, just a test tube, and you know what that looks like with clear fluid, and all of a sudden, boom, the emergence of these crystals. What controls this? So we're going to move the ball now. What controls precipitation? What are the elements? Why does somebody precipitate these crystals and somebody else doesn't? Why does somebody get gout and somebody else doesn't? Well, you're going to screen pH. And you're going to think calcium powder. And then I'm going to tell you, you have a modicum of understanding then. That's so simplistic. What controls deposition? And yes, we're going to include pH. pH is key. But not pH in the way you think about it. Not pH simply in the sense of alkaline acid litmus paper. We'll get into that. First of all, let's understand the body. Carbon dioxide. We do not, as Homo sapien, inhale carbon dioxide. We inhale oxygen. And then our cells, as they produce the currency of the cell, no news to you, that's what? ATP, adenosine triphosphate. The cell energy is driven off this currency, this dollar bill currency called ATP. The phosphate group on adenosine triphosphate cleaves and provides a burst of energy so that the cell can do anything it wants to do. If it wants to make a protein, if it wants to repair its membrane, if it wants to reproduce itself, if it wants to repair on any level, it's going to need dollars and cents. No dollars and cents, no pass go. Yeah, it's banking, it's monopoly. It's all economics inside that cell. And if the cell's going to survive and function optimally and repair itself when it's sick, well, then it's going to need to produce ATP. Well, when the cell's done making its ATP, it spits out carbon dioxide gas. Carbon dioxide gas is poisonous. That's why we exhale it. Hopefully we're exhaling tons of it. But you know what? We can't get rid of it all. Believe it or not, what happens is the carbon dioxide converts to carbonic acid. Now, I'm not going to get too deeply into the chemistry, but what I would love you to do, what I would love you to do, if in fact you can do that, is I want you to press one of the links under the dental article. Now, I've put this dental article written in 1905, this dental article I put there, written in 1905, meaning what I'm about to get into has been understood since the 1860s. But if you press link number 4, the dental article, go to the second page, and you can see the second page is highlighted. Down on the bottom of that second page is this green box. It talks about alkalinity and acidity. And I'm going to summarize for you, but on your own, you read that. Of course, that means you go to the archives later. Hopefully, you're a subscriber. What, we've got about 125 shows now. These are pennies. Pennies, these shows. Take them into yourself. Here's an article from 1905. 1905, a bunch of dentists trying to figure out why the roots of the teeth get plaque. The same plaque, there it is, deposition disease. There they are in 1905, quoting people from 1776, quoting people from the 1860s. And these wonderful gifts, these almost biblical texts of how the body functions correctly and incorrectly, collecting dust out there in cyberspace, formerly of the bottom stack in the library. You know, the ninth floor in the back where you go to study because it's too noisy down in the main hall. That's where these books are. I know, I've been there. And now cyberspace, pull them down out of nowhere. These were credentialed men of high integrity, studying, discussing, presenting at seminars, and publishing for no reason other than curiosity. Back in a day where you didn't have to publish on the basis of who would give you the grant or who would give you the money. These were people in the exploratory years just trying to understand the process of disease. They didn't have a solution. They needed to understand the process before they could approximate a solution. So this stuff is the stuff. It's raw. In the middle of that page, just above that green outlined cube there, it talks about carbonic acid, which is a derivative of what? Carbon dioxide. So the body's got to do something with carbon dioxide. It converts it to carbonic acid, and then it frees it up as carbonate. And carbonate, sodium carbonate, is safe for the body. So carbon dioxide ultimately becomes carbonic acid. And to keep it short and sweet and brief, that carbonic acid becomes sodium phosphate. That carbonic acid, what was once carbon dioxide, becomes calcium phosphate. Whether it's sodium phosphate or calcium phosphate, those acids which you don't want in your body, go out your kidney. And you don't think about it. And the kidney doesn't grunt about it. Unless what? Well, I could give you a million unless what's. Suppose you don't ever exhale. Oh, well, we all exhale, or do we? Groff breath, Groffian breath, yogic breath, diaphragmatic breath. Breath as compared to your average Joe that never either takes a breath or releases a breath. You don't think that carbon dioxide builds up much higher in that person's blood? Well, it would, because they don't exhale. Well, it would because they're more acidic, because they don't inhale. Their whole body is one fermenting cauldron of acid. And why doesn't that cause them a problem? Why don't we read about it in the papers? Why isn't it explained as the cause of tomorrow's disease? Because simply, the kidneys take the beating. And God gave us a wonderful pair of kidneys. And they can take a beating, not like the liver. Cut the liver in half, it grows back. Cut a kidney in half, you lost your kidney. No, those kidneys can't take the beating. But here's the point. We're discussing deposition disease, and carbon dioxide is going, ultimately, if it's not taken out of the body, whether it builds up too fast because you don't exhale, or for any other reason, that carbon dioxide, has to get out the kidney. So it does. So the body plays around with it chemically. The carbon dioxide becomes the bicarbonate ion, and sodium phosphate and calcium phosphate take out the remnant of what was once the carbon dioxide. Those two acids, sodium phosphate and potassium, sodium phosphate and calcium phosphate, those two acids go right out through the kidney. Well, suppose the kidney doesn't work so well. Suppose the kidney starts to build up its own plaque. Something happens. Something happens to those free-floating acids. Those acids, if you look at them, again, we're talking about derivatives of carbon dioxide floating around in the blood as the phosphates, sodium and calcium phosphate, that should go out the kidney. But before they go out the kidney, suppose the kidney is just too slow. Suppose the kidney's clogged. You know enough from these shows. You know enough from other shows. You all understand the purpose of the kidney cleanse. And we all know people's kidneys don't function over the generations, over the decades. They don't function perfectly anymore. The kidney of a 60-year-old is not the kidney of a 10-year-old or a 20-year-old. The kidney of an 80-year-old, just around disease time. Just around the emergence of symptom. Rest assured, your kidneys are not doing what your kidneys are supposed to do. So understand that that carbon dioxide, that acid, becomes those phosphates, is floating around in your blood because it can't get out. It's trapped there. It's looking for a way out, but it can't find one. And if you looked in your blood, you wouldn't see crystals. You wouldn't see them. It just looked like regular blood. When you go to Kaiser, when you have your physical, and they take your blood, they tell you that there's phosphate in it, there's phosphorus in it. They tell you that there's potassium. They tell you there's sodium. They tell you there's calcium. They talk about all sorts of things in the blood that have nothing to do whatsoever, that don't test for, that don't even think about how much calcium and sodium phosphate acids are in that blood. And then that critical moment. So let's dust off the books and take a look at what's in the green. One of the most single important paragraphs I've ever read. You hear about these things and you have to look hard, because they're on the tips of people's mouths in nutrition, in health, and wellness. But they don't know where these things come from. Everybody just passes on the words. And then when they're challenged to present the science, nobody understands the science. Everybody says, well, someone else told me. And it's usually some article in some nutrition magazine. But if you really look, it goes way back to men of credential. Here's an example. They're talking about the urates. What's urate? Urate is the soluble form of what becomes uric acid. Now, even in your good old chemistry panel, when you get your physical every year, do they measure uric acid? They like to measure uric acid because if the uric acid level goes too high in the blood, well, then it means the kidneys aren't doing their job, because the kidneys are going to flush it out. So we're talking about, once again, a soluble compound. Soluble. So before you get a crystal, you have to have that same line or the same family. Urate becomes uric acid. The phosphates are soluble. Sooner or later, they become crystals. Wait till we talk about calcium hydroxyapatite. It lives in a soluble form that precipitates out as a dangerous acid. But here's the point, and this is what's in that green little paragraph there. Relative acidity or alkalinity. What that article is talking about is these soluble, these unseeable, these invisible Invisible like if you stir sugar into water. You don't see the sugar grains anymore. Where they go? Well, they're soluble in the water. And that's where these urates live. That's where these phosphates live. They're acidic, but they're soluble. Now, this is the point. These urates are maintained in solution. And while, as such, they may cause considerable disturbances, the danger stage does not occur until these salts become precipitated upon or adjacent to sensitive surfaces. It is a well-known fact that the articulations, the tendons and the muscles, the joints, tissues which are kept constantly active, are the parts most likely to become the seat or recipients of these sediments. We know that the urates are precipitated in the presence of an acid or under conditions of a marked decrease in alkalinity. There it is. There it is. You could look 10 years for something as hard-based in science and not find it. You could spend years in nutrition schools, naturopathic schools, and never would they take the time to really pull it out. Never would they take the time to study the PKAs, which we'll try to discuss today briefly, just to throw words at you so you can start to see, so it can stimulate you, so it can strengthen your faith, right? Because what are you dealing with? You're dealing with arthritis. You're dealing with depositions of plaque into the arteries. And you're, well, you're hoping there's a solution. You're making the terrible mistake of thinking that it's a pure, sole, herbal solution. But even if you comply, even if you exercise, even if you flush your kidneys, you don't really know what you're doing or why you're doing it. You're trusting. I don't want you to trust. The problem with American nutrition, the problem with holistic medicine, the problem with natural medicine is that we ask you to trust. We don't need you to trust. We need you to learn. God's children perish not for lack of faith, but for lack of knowledge. Isn't that one of the quotes? Well, what does it mean? It means hit the books, Sam. It means get in there. So pat yourself on the back today. Do that. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc, and start thinking. Understand that science is your friend. It's not your enemy. Understand you've got to broaden your perspective. Tell your friends that. Tell your friends that you need to make time. Health is that important. Health converts to prosperity because health converts to energy, and energy converts to money. If you wanted to, energy goes wherever you want it to go. But you've got to have your health. It's an oxymoron. It's a contradiction in terms when people say, I don't have the time. Sure, there's reality. Sometimes your back's to the wall. But lots of people have the time. What they don't have is what? Any faith that knowledge exists, that the endeavor is worth sweating for. That's what science is supposed to deliver to you. That's what nutrition shows are supposed to deliver to you. First and foremost. So get on the website, straighttalk.cc. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Hear this show again. Get the archives. Now listen once again. Listen again. It's very simple. We have soluble. So now I'll talk faster. We have soluble compounds, urates, phosphates in the blood that go out the kidney as acids. If these soluble phosphates hit, as this little paragraph or two say, it is a well-known fact that the articulations, the tendons, the muscles, the joints, tissues which are constantly kept active, are the parts most likely to become the seat of these crystals. We know that urates are precipitated in the presence of an acid or under conditions of marked decrease in alkalinity. That means these soluble compounds look for pockets of acidity. Why is it your shoulder and not your wrist? Why is it your wrist and not your knee? Why is it your knee and not your ankle? Why is it your ankle and not your hip? Why is it your hip and not your neck? Why is it your neck and not your thoracic spine? Because these soluble urates, these soluble phosphates are fishing around They're on their way to the kidney, but they're circulating through the blood. They're taking little detours. They're going on vacation. They're parking their rear ends where? In certain parts of your body, just to rest a little bit. And if they find an acidic adjacent surface, that acidity causes precipitation. Meditate on that. I want you to meditate on that. Pockets of acidity in the body that combined with the presence of soluble acids. Soluble, meaning they're not precipitating yet. They're about to precipitate. They're about to become Godzilla. And over the decades, precipitation upon precipitation, deposition upon deposition, right? The precipitation is the emergence of the uric acid crystal. The precipitation is the emergence of the calcium hydroxyapatite crystal. But after they precipitate, they deposit. That deposition over 10 years, 20 years, 30 years begins to inflame the joint. Why? Because the immune system sees it. The immune system's there. The police force, the army, the navy, the marines, all 1,500 different types of immune system cells are eyeballing this buildup of precipitate in the joint or on the inside of your arteries or up in your brain or in between the cells of your organs. Precipitation and deposition define disease. Many pathogenesis of illness begin with precipitation. But what do? We wait for a symptom. We wait for a disease. We wait for the organ to scream and cry, I can't work anymore. And then what do? We run to the doctor or we run to the nutritionist and we expect a surgery or a pharmacological drug or an herb to fix it. We are really deceived. We're innocent. Sometimes we're lazy. If you've heard this show once, there's no excuse. Check the science. It's there. You're just the public. And the public can't possibly understand. They can't understand why journalists lie or politicians are thieves or scientists slant data. You're just the public. When are you going to understand that some things are worth fighting for? Some things are worth getting educated about. This is one of them. That's what this show is. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. 714-850-1007. That's 714-850-1007. If it's just too complicated for you, because it's just too complicated, call the office, make the appointment, and let's start moving the ball to teach you how to move the ball of health for you. But it's a different model down here. It's not just a suggestion about some nutritional supplement. It's about health on all of its limbs. Psychological, biomechanical, biochemical, whatever we need to do, your profile specific to you. And that's an evolution. And if you go to the website, straighttalk.cc, it says health is an evolution. It's not a cookie cutter, one size fits all. You should just do this because it'll work for you. That's what you call first-base nutrition. And you know what? I'm not knocking it. First base is better than nothing at all. But if you want to hit the home run, meaning you want to come out of illness, you want to teach your body to heal yourself, well, that's why I exist. 714-850-1007. It's 1905, and a bunch of dentists just put on paper one of the most significant paragraphs in biochemical history. Not nutritional medicine, not alternative medicine, medicine. If you can go to the website, there's another picture for you. I've got pictures of calcium hydroxyapatite. There's an interesting one. Calcium hydroxyapatite. Picture number three. Those are crystals of calcium hydroxyapatite. big word. You can buy calcium out there. You can take a calcium supplement called calcium hydroxyapatite. No, it's not what I'm really talking about. I'm talking about calcium monoorthophosphate, an insoluble, a mix in water. So I can use these words now. That test tube you just looked at, if that test tube were just a clear, colorless liquid, you could take calcium monoorthophosphate and you could just dissolve it in the blood and you wouldn't see any sediment until you precipitate out of solution these crystals. And those crystals are called calcium hydroxyapatite. They drive joint disease. They drive, or they're part of, the formation of calcific plaque on the underside of the artery. Now, here's what's exciting. Calcium hydroxyapatite has a competitor. The competitor is called pyrophosphate. And before the soluble calcium, calcium monoorthophosphate, calcium phosphate, something I mentioned earlier, but we give it in a different slant now. Before calcium phosphate precipitates into calcium hydroxyapatite, there's something called, now this is a different chemical, there's something called pyrophosphate. Pyrophosphate. Now, if you're at the website, which I hope you are, on straighttalk.cc, and again, I expect you to hear this show again. You got to hear these shows a couple of times. Isn't it worth it? There's an article there on the website. Number three, pyrophosphate prevents calcification. I've got the article right here in my hand. I launched the article out of the archives the other day. It's a hard science article. It's a peer-reviewed article in Kidney International. Right. I know you read that along with GQ and Vanity Fair and Time Magazine. Kidney International. Hey, the subscription's only $200 a year. I got this article for $18. You could get it on you can get it on other websites for $5. You can download it in 15 minutes. You just got to be willing to look, play with the computer. The name of the article, look up the article. I put it there for you for pennies. Prevention of vascular calcification. Is pyrophosphate therapy a solution? Somebody did research on this. Somebody got paid to do this by the National Institute of Health, most likely. Somebody with a PhD and somebody else with a PhD. In Kidney International in 1979, some of you weren't born. Some of you were in your wedding dress. I was barely a teenager. Or maybe a little more than that. In any event, page 490 to 93 discusses something about a relationship between vascular calcification, the deposition, the precipitation, and then ultimately calcification of pyrophosphate, of calcium hydroxyapatite. Could something called pyrophosphate intercede to prevent it? Could pyrophosphate be a solution to the plaque in your arteries that, unfortunately for guys like Bill Clinton, caused serious bypass surgeries? And what's happened to that man over 10 to 20 years? That's what a bypass surgery can do. That's what happens when your arteries are plugged. And guess what? It's better than death. So I'm not knocking it. But could the deposition, could Bill Clinton have been told when he was 50, a flat 50, could he have been told, you're plaquing up, the amount of calcific plaque growing before angiography, before the angiogram, based upon testing, to an American president the best doctors in the world, the best cardiologists, where was it put in writing to him that your arteries are plaquing up with calcific plaque and fatty plaque and you're on your way to bypass? Or was he just told nothing as president of the United States? Where was Rick Perry when he had to have his surgeries? Where were the doctors then? Why do we always wait till the end? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why the public waits to the end, because the public's never told about the science. So put on your thinking caps a little straighter and a little tighter, because we have to get into some science now. Probably the deepest exploration into the science that we've ever wanted to yet on this show. Pyrophosphate. Look at picture number one. That's the pyrophosphate molecule. That pyrophosphate molecule, if you look at it, has a charge of -4. If you're listening in the car, just picture a big mass of chemicals and just give it a charge of -4. That -4 means there's 4 oxygens on this thing we call pyrophosphate, and they could take on, attached to, 4 hydrogens. Those O's there, if you're looking at the website, with the negatives next to them, could become OHs. Pyrophosphate is a soluble compound floating around all over the place, just waiting to pick up hydrogens. Now, calcium hydroxyapatite, before it becomes calcium hydroxyapatite, it's calcium phosphate. But it hasn't picked up any hydrogens. The precursor to crystallization, so get this because you can, the precursor to the crystallization of calcium hydroxyapatite is calcium phosphate. It's not hydroxyapatite because it hasn't acidified yet. It hasn't picked up hydrogens yet. It hasn't precipitated out of solution yet. So we've got these two soluble entities, moieties, amalgams of atoms, pyrophosphate with a -4 charge and calcium phosphate. They're both looking for hydrogens. If calcium phosphate gets hydrogens from that acidic medium, the acidic medium, what do I mean by the acidic medium? If, remember we said the urates, the phosphates float around near the joint or on the underside of the artery or up in the tiny arteries of the brain or in between the cells of the brain or in between the cells of an organ, that intercellular fluid, that cauldron potentially of dirty, filthy acid that you're always trying to alkalize, these soluble pyrophosphates and the precursor to hydroxyapatite, the calcium safe phosphates, they circulate in soluble form. They circulate with these negative charges. They circulate looking for hydrogens. Acidity, write it down. Acidity means the availability. An acid environment means the availability of hydrogen ions, H+, right? Come on. You remember, even in grammar school, acids are hydrogen ions. Bases are hydroxyl ions. That much you understand somewhere along the way. High school chemistry. I learned it in the 7th grade in grammar school. Somebody, somewhere, reach down, if not, write it down. Acidic environments, acid. Lemon juice is acid. Milk is alkaline. When the intercellular environment is like lemon juice, it's acidic. It means there's an availability, an excess of H pluses. Those H pluses can attach. Now, here's the key. Those H pluses can attach to pyrophosphate with those 4 negatives. Those H pluses can attach to the precursor of calcium hydroxyapatite. That precursor is calcium phosphate. So those H pluses in an acidic environment can go to pyrophosphate or calcium phosphate. Which one they go to depends on what we call the pKa, The pKa is a measurement. I put the pKa so you can just get a sense of what we mean by pKa. If you look at picture number 4, just look at pK1, pK2, pK3. If you look at on that numbered list of links, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, look at dissociation constants of what we call phosphoric acid with pKa1, pKa2, pKa3. That's what I mean by pKa, or if you have to, pK. What does this mean? It means that pyrophosphate, looking for hydrogens, and calcium phosphate to become hydroxyapatite, looking for hydrogens, each of them has a different power of attraction. Each of them wants hydrogen, but not the same way. One of them has a deeper, more rapid connection with hydrogen than the other one. And that's the key. What God, what the divine, what nature put in the presence of calcium phosphate is something called pyrophosphate, right? Prevention of vascular calcification. Is pyrophosphate therapy a solution? Our bodies make pyrophosphate. And if you put pyrophosphate next to calcium phosphate, the pyrophosphate mops up the hydrogen ions. The pyrophosphate wants them more. So the calcium phosphate or the sodium phosphate or the urate gets left without them and stays soluble. If the calcium phosphate, if the urate, if the soluble compound gets that hydrogen, it becomes uric acid. It becomes calcium hydroxyapatite. It will precipitate out the crystal. That crystal will clog your joints and go to the underside of the artery. But to prevent that, God put a chemical. Our bodies make pyrophosphate. And the pyrophosphate competes with the hydrogen ion. It takes the hydrogen ion and it binds to it. And then the hydroxyapatite never forms, and then the uric acid never forms. It's competitive competition. It's a God-made chemical. It's what our bodies produce to prevent precipitation. It's what our bodies produce to prevent deposition. Now, here's the clincher. And for simplicity's sake, let me just say that the clincher is the pH of the surface that you're going to precipitate. If the pH, not the pH of the whole body, not the totality of the pH, not necessarily what the urine says, but the specific pH of the fluid in the tissue, that's not necessarily represented by the pH in the urine. If the pH of that tissue is a little too acidic, then pyrophosphate doesn't get the hydrogen ion. Pyrophosphate, what God put there to prevent the precipitation of hydroxyapatite, if the pH is wrong in the intercellular fluid, if it gets too acidic, the pKa is not functional then, and pyrophosphate doesn't get the hydrogen. Pyrophosphate can't steal the hydrogen, preventing the precipitation of that old dangerous hydroxyapatite crystal if the intercellular fluid is too acidic. And that revolves around another concept called the pKa, which we're going to skip you with. If you can follow this much, you've learned much, because what we're talking about then is something that motivated two researchers in Kidney International to write an article, because they studied it and they saw that there are things in there that mop up these precipitates, that prevent these precipitates from ever becoming crystals. Now that's science. It's hard science. And there's tons more science. For instance, Before you precipitate something out of solution, before you make these crystals, you have to build the concentration of them. We see this with uric acid. If somebody's kidney doesn't get rid of uric acid, or the urates, not the precipitates, but the urates, if somebody's kidneys don't get rid of them because your kidneys are clogged up, because you haven't flushed them, because you don't work, well, these urates will start to build up concentration around a joint. Well, suppose the blood's too thick because you don't move it. Suppose the blood's too thick because you don't stretch that joint. Suppose you injured that joint and there's a low-grade inflammatory process which thickens the blood into a sludge. Suppose there are infections around the bone or in the soft tissue. So that already, forget about the precipitation of these urates, of these phosphates. Just consider that there's sluggishness in the area. Sluggishness because you don't stretch. Sluggishness because you haven't worked your scars out. Sluggishness because you haven't stretched. Sluggishness because that part of your body is emotionally bound with specific tensions as they relate to that part of the body. What's going to happen to the concentration of these potential precipitates? The concentration is going to build because the tissue's sludgy. And if you build concentration for reasons stated, you enhance the probability of precipitation, even if pyrophosphate and other chemicals God put there try to block precipitation. You see, it's a war. It's a trade-off. It's a balance of variables. And the balance comes down to, well, that question you love to ask. What am I going to do about it? First of all, you're going to understand it. Because what you're going to do about it says you're going to go out and do something about it. But you're not. You're not really unless you get educated. You see? If you think just knowing that you're supposed to pop a pill, eat right, and go out and exercise is enough to cut it, holistic medicine, if it really was based on that, holistic medicine wouldn't be such an underdog. Because it is. And we don't like to hear that. We like to celebrate the whole thing on these shows, but you see, the fact of the matter is, relative to the population, relative to the world, or am I imagining every other word on the tip of every other tongue is, my family thinks I'm crazy, my neighbors think I'm crazy, my husband thinks I'm crazy, he's certain that this is not science, he's certain that we're just wasting his money, or our money, or someone's money. So it's really not a matter of, yes, yes, you already know. You got to know enough to hang in there when the rubber hits the road. And that's what we invented science for. There is science here if you look, but the people that wrote this article, nobody knows them. Maybe they're not even alive. Their corpses are collecting dust, and that dust is out in cyberspace. But this is their legacy, you see. This is how they influence people. Whether it's the dental cosmos in 1905 or Percy and McKee in Kidney International some 35 years ago. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. Get to the website. If you're on the wrong track, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. There is no show like this in America. No show attempts to do this. Just educate. Just get to you what it's truly about. But you have to do your share. You have to believe enough in yourself so that you can get on the archive and study the show. Study it like you've studied anything in your life. Because before you get your joint replaced, before you're told there's nothing you can do with it, before you drink the Kool-Aid of a simple supplement that's going to fix it all, understand that herbs, supplements have a purpose, but the purpose is deeper than you think. And don't understand or misunderstand, we're not knocking supplementation. We're not knocking herbalism. We're not knocking pharmaceutical drugs. We're not even knocking surgeries here on this show. What we are saying is the body can heal itself. And if you understand it deeply enough, it will provide you the light of knowledge. And then your faith can be of value. A lot of people won't just walk blindly into the night. There are a few. But by and large, people need to know. Well, you have to work to know. So tell your friends. Tell America. Wake up. Because it's time we get educated. Truly in the Hall of Science. Precipitation. Deposition. Competitive inhibition. Competition between opposing moieties to prevent precipitation. You heard it all today. Dr. Wilson. That's article number 6. Dr. Wilson. Quite a medical doctor. Great article. I put it in there. Great article. I'll give you an insight from Dr. Wilson. Let me just read a bit. Hopefully you're looking at the article yourself. But the point is, Dr. Wilson says, when there's exhaustion stage of stress, calcium gets lost in the tissue. And once calcium gets lost in the tissue, low sodium and potassium levels prevent calcium from staying in an ionized form. Instead, it precipitates deposits in many body tissues, including joints. And we're out of time. There's never enough time. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get to the website. Study this show. God bless you. 714-850-1007 so I can put you on track. See you later.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.